Well, greetings, Crawford Faith Family. Pastor Jay here. It's so wonderful to be able to gather to worship our awesome God through prayer and through the preaching of God's Word today. And I want to begin our time of worship as we humble ourselves before our great God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. And our Father in heaven, we do come before you today. We ask you, Father, to prepare us to worship. Lord, these are unusual, trying, difficult days for our nation and for our world. And so, Father, this is unprecedented territory for so many of us in the Church of Jesus Christ. But, Father, we know that you're constant and you are immutable. That is, you do not change. We know, Father, that you are sovereign and that you are in control, even of the coronavirus and other illnesses and everything that takes place. Lord, what others mean for evil, Lord, you mean them for good. And so we acknowledge at the outset of our worship today that, God, you are a sovereign God, that you are a good and a gracious and merciful and loving God. And we beseech you today at your throne of grace, because of Jesus Christ, and we come to you through him and in his authority. And Father, today I want to pray for those who are sick with the coronavirus and other illnesses. Father, our world is a Genesis 3 broken, hurting, sick, spiritually dead, and dying world. And so we lift up those who are sick, and we pray for the family members of those who are sick, and we ask you for healing for these families. Father, we pray for the healthcare workers today who are just experiencing an avalanche of sick people in doctors' waiting rooms and hospitals and ICU units around our nation and around the world today. We pray for those who, Lord, serve us well during this medical crisis, and we ask you to grant them great strength and endurance and knowledge and wisdom. We do pray for the vulnerable, Lord, for our elderly, and for those who are diseased, those who are most likely to contract the coronavirus and have very serious effects from it. God, we pray your hand of protection upon them. And Father, we pray for those who are unemployed, those who are temporarily laid off from their jobs. Father, we pray for parents who need to work, whose children need watching over and daycare, and daycares are closed. And so we pray for students today that are out of school and out of college. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be able to love these people and to reflect the love of Christ to them. And Father, I pray for our leaders, for our president and our vice president. We pray for Governor Ivey here in Alabama. We pray for the mayors of our communities here in the Mobile region. God, that you would give them wisdom to make the right decisions that would honor you and be best for our community and the health of our people. And Father, we do want to pray for churches today. We pray for pastors that are having to video sermons in empty auditoriums. We pray for those who are unable to even do this because the technology is not available. Father, we are grateful that throughout the history of the church, we have never been confined to a building. Lord, the church is the people. A church is not a location. The church has a heartbeat. Lord, it's a heart that's been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, during these trying, difficult days, I pray that you would enable us to be the church to our family members and those in our own neighborhoods where we can, Lord, minister and serve and pray and get together maybe during this season of time that we are under the national state of emergency, like we just don't have time to do it under normal circumstances. God, may we capitalize during this crisis for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit these prayer requests to you concerning the coronavirus and the changes that have taken place in our nation and around the world. And Father, I also want to pray today for the Bar people, the people group of the day, the Bar people in India. They're 1,954,000 Bar people, and not a one of them is known to be a Christian. And Father, they believe in the way of Hinduism, worshiping a multitude of false gods. Lord, they're blinded spiritually. They're dead spiritually. This 1,954,000 people need the light of Christ. And, oh God, I pray you'd send Christians there in India and missionaries into the region where the Bar people live. And, God, that you would use them as they proclaim the gospel to open those blind eyes and to take out those hearts of stone and put in hearts of flesh. I pray, Father, you would regenerate people among the Bar people. And I also pray, Father, during this crisis in our own nation, oh God, I pray that you would open blind eyes in America. I pray that you would shake this nation to its core. I pray, Father, that you would grant regeneration, faith, belief, repentance, Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would see an awakening, a movement of God in this nation once again, like we haven't seen in hundreds of years. God, today is the day, and we pray for you to be glorified and to move mightily in and among your people, and that this nation would be impacted for Christ and his glory and the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. We trust you, Father. And I pray now for anointing as I preach, Lord, your word to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to continue in our regularly scheduled series, 2020 Vision, Focus on the Family. We began this series back in January here at Crawford Baptist Church, and all of the other messages preached to date are online at crawfordbaptist.net and are also able to be found on YouTube as well. And I would encourage you, if you have missed a message, or maybe you're tuning in just because you found us on YouTube, or you're checking out different websites for messages during these trying days when your church is not meeting, I would encourage you to go to CrawfordBaptist.net under resources and sermons and listen to these various sermons. If we have focused on the family, and God instituted the family first, and the family is important. And may God help us to get our family right in these trying days in our world. But this morning, we're going to be focusing particularly in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, there in your home, if you would take your Bible, find your Bible, blow the dust off your Bible, get your Bible, pull it up on your phone, your device, your laptop, your tablet, and turn with me to Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Remember, Ephesians is easy to find. If you'll remember the little saying, Gentiles eat pork chops, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and you'll be right there in Ephesians chapter 6 with us. We have in previous weeks been studying verse by verse through Ephesians chapter 5, pick it up with verse 15, and then we've walked through what it is to be a Spirit-filled Christian, first of all. Then we looked at being a Spirit-filled wife who then graciously submits herself to her own husband. That's in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. And then we spent a number of weeks looking at Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 about the Spirit-filled husband and what God expects and intends for Spirit-filled men whom he honors to become husbands to be. And so we've had several messages on this topic, and I encourage you to check them all out soon online. Today, our focus is going to be on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to be speaking today about preparing a godly legacy, preparing a godly legacy. So if you will now, if you found the text, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, let me read these verses and we will dive into our sermon for today. The Word of God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word today. And let me say, we're not suspending worship at Crawford Baptist Church. We're doing it in a different format, but we're worshiping right now. And I pray that you will engage in worship as you set your mind's attention and your heart's affection upon the Lord and what he has done for us in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And neither are we suspending our scripture memory verse of the week. Our scripture memory verse of the week today, parents, you will rejoice over this. It is chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. This is a good scripture memory verse for this week. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Please make note of that. You don't have a normal bulletin like we normally would, but you can note that verse, type it out, write it out, put it over your kitchen table, on your refrigerator, over your children's beds, and help them memorize this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so as we begin to think about preparing a godly legacy, what will be there when you are gone? What impact are you having upon your children? We have recently studied being a spirit-filled man or woman, being a spirit-filled church member there in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. And then we come up to being spirit-filled wives, spirit-filled fathers and husbands. And now the key question is, what will your impact be upon your next generation, those children that you have birthed by the grace of God? What type of legacy are you leaving in and through them for the future that will bring God great glory? Preparing a godly legacy. And as we begin this day, we need to remember that the gospel changes our identity, the essence of who we are. The gospel changes our lifestyle. The gospel also then transforms how we live and operate within our own homes. God himself turns us into new people. This means new husbands, new wives, new fathers, new mothers, and we have new loves that honor and glorify God. Now you may say, well, Pastor Jay, I'm tuning in, but here's the thing, I'm not a parent. Well, let me just give you a few statements to help you as we proceed with this message today. Number one, as a church, we're a family. We are a family as a church. The Apostle Paul seems to assume that children are in attendance when the scriptures are being read. And we want our children to be present with us when we read the scriptures here at Crawford Baptist Church. When we preach the Word of God, we like to have our children in the worship gathering. Here at our church, we do have nursery and preschool church, and we have children's church up through grade 3. But after that, we expect our children to be here in worship, learning how to worship the one true living God, observing their parents worship under the authority of the Word of God. It is so critical in our day today to have our children understand what true worship of the living God is really all about. And so I want us to think about this topic today. Also, I want you to see the application for those of you who are not yet parents. And so you say, well, I'm not a parent, Pastor Jay. I'm not a parent. Well, listen, as a faith family member of Crawford Baptist Church or any other church, if you are a part of a local church, then you are a part of a family, and we all have responsibility for one another. And perhaps you're here and you will become a father or mother one day. Most of you will. If you're not a father or a mother right now, statistically speaking, there's going to come a time when you're going to get married and God will grace you with children, biologically born or perhaps through foster care, through adoption. But you will have children there living in your home with you. The whole body of Christ is to be used in helping to train up our children. So if you're single or married with no kids, or you're married with moved out kids, the kids at Crawford Baptist Church are on one level still your children. So this means we need to love them well, beloved. You can sit with them. You can pour into them. You can also serve parents as a follower of Christ. Serve in the nursery. Serve in the preschool church. Serve in teaching children's community groups when we're able to resume them in the near future, we pray. But serve the Lord with gladness through child care in your local church family. We are a family. And so while you don't have the same responsibilities as their parents, you have a responsibility to care for them like family. Also, again, if you're not a parent at the moment and you're part of a local church, then we're brothers and sisters in a spiritual family. In the future, you will probably have your own children, Lord willing. And also, you're to honor your parents no matter what their age may be. And so they should not be forgotten. Let's not forget our parents and the elderly during this crucial time in our nation's history. We should seek to care for them. And as they get older, we want to care more and more for them. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But the point of the message today, and I'm going to only have 2 points today. I have 4 prepared for the sermon, but we're going to do 2 points today. Next Sunday, we'll continue with the final 2 points out of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Our first big truth today is this. We should value and care for our children. We should value and care for our children. You know, the fact that Paul mentions children here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 is such an important, in such an important letter, demonstrates how the early church placed such importance upon children. Just the mention of children in this significant letter, known as the Queen of the Epistles, the book of Ephesians, just mentioning children at all in that culture was a significant move on the Apostle Paul's part. Dr. Leon Morris, in his commentary, points out that it is significant that Paul wrote children and not just boys. You see, girls were valued less in ancient society, but the Apostle Paul did not accept such a limitation. So he calls out for children, both boys and girls, are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. The early church had a high regard for children. In fact, the early church carried on the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Also, the early church carried on the values of the Old Testament, brothers and sisters. Think about Psalm 127, Psalm 128. There we see the Bible places an extreme importance upon children. In fact, in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Amen. "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And in the great passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen to this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, He is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. You see, while many in the Greco-Roman world would have put children on the trash heap for people to come by and pick up and train them to be gladiators or prostitutes or slaves in some form or another, the early church welcomed children into its gathering. John Stott has noted, "It was a radical change from the callous cruelty which prevailed in the Roman Empire, in which unwanted babies were abandoned. Weak and deformed ones were killed, and even healthy children were regarded by many as a partial nuisance because they inhibited sexual promiscuity and complicated easy divorce." You know, the Christian Aristides was summoned before the Roman Emperor Hadrian around AD 125. And Aristides, speaking before the Roman Emperor Hadrian, said this, speaking of Christians, "They do not worship strange gods, and they go their way in all modesty and cheerfulness. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. And from widows they do not turn away their esteem, and they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly." And at Crawford Baptist Church, we want to live up to this Christ-honoring legacy. We want to value all people, including children, regardless of their race, their background, or how they were brought into this world. Children, by the way, have no say in that matter. That is upon the adults who make certain decisions, whether good or bad. So let us joyfully celebrate the birth of children. And we understand at Crawford Baptist Church that creation is the work of God. But we also understand that parents have a holy calling to be the primary disciple makers of their kids, their children. And in this state of national emergency, this is a time for dads to rise up. It's time for moms to rise up. Let's take the Bible, the Word of God, seriously. This is nothing new that I'm preaching today. It's always been here for centuries and centuries and centuries. It's just that we have gotten away from these things. And in our culture of death today, we don't even celebrate the birth of children. We don't do that. We celebrate here at Crawford Baptist Church the birth of Taylor Ann to Robbie and Rachel Greer last week. We praise God for that healthy baby. We pray today for Joel and Beth Bishop as they're looking to have a new child coming to this world in just a matter of a couple of weeks now. We praise God for these children. We praise God for those who foster children and adopt children, as my wife Pam and I have done with our two children, Daniel Paul and Mary Grace. Life is a gift from God, and we as Christians are to cherish all life. And as parents, we know this rule, this maxim, man, the days are long, but the years are short. Before you turn around a time or two, they're graduating high school. They're heading off to college, joining the military, getting that job, moving out from you. We have a limited time of stewardship over our children in our homes, and we are to value and care for the children that God has blessed us with. And so may we here at Crawford Baptist Church value our children, but also all children that God has placed within this faith family. You see, we want the children of Crawford Baptist Church to grow up and realize that only the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. We want our children to understand and realize the importance of the local church. We pray that our children here at Crawford Baptist Church would know that the mission of Jesus is worth their very lives. We pray that the children here would understand that the glory of God should be supreme in their desires and in their heart. We pray that the children of Crawford Baptist Church would grow up, and that the little men would grow up, the boys would grow up into little godly men, and they would then honor and love their wife as Christ loved the church. And we pray that our little girls would grow up into godly young women, and that they would submit themselves to their own husbands as unto the Lord, that they would respect and honor their husbands, that they would have godly marriages. We pray that our young men would grow up to be warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ, who do battle with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We want to disciple our children. And the primary way and place that's going to take place, and this has not changed because of a state of national emergency, it has always been in the home. It is not the student pastor's fault if your children grow astray. It's not the pastor's fault if the students go astray. This is centered in our homes. We must see our homes as the central places of discipleship for the Christian life. And so, church, Let's support the children at Crawford. Let's support and value our own children. Let's support those who are in the foster system, who are under foster care, by loving godly people. Let's support those who have adopted children for the glory of God and the good of those whom they are adopting. You see, many today, sadly, are functionally fatherless in our society today. Recent reports note that 80% of African-American children are being raised apart from their biological father. 80% of African-American children in America are being raised apart from their biological father. This same study also revealed that 60% of Hispanic children are being raised apart from their biological father, and 50% of white Caucasian children in America. 50% of white Caucasian children are being raised apart from their biological father. Many children have fathers or mothers who are living, but they're just nowhere to be found. So may I encourage us as a church to humble ourselves and allow the love of Christ to flow into us and through us, and may we be a blessing to a segment of our population that is hurting desperately. I'd like to illustrate this point about functional fatherlessness. There's a show that I used to watch growing up, showing my age a little bit now. Wish I could sing the song for you. Many of you know the song. The show was called The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Don't many of you remember that show? I'm sure many of you do. But in that show, there was a troubled teenager from Philadelphia, born and bred, who had to move out to California to live with his Uncle Phil, who was a lawyer, an attorney, in a wealthy position. His mom had moved him out to get him out of that trouble area where he was on the East Coast. There was an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air entitled, Papa's Got a Brand New Excuse. Papa's got a brand new excuse. You see, Will's biological father shows up after 14 years of being absent from his life. And man, Will is high in spirits and he's excited and he's pumped that dad has shown up, and he comes down there in Uncle Phil's house and his dad is down in the living room, and Uncle Phil is there, and Will comes down with a big bag on his back and he's planning to go spend time with his dad, whom he hadn't seen in 14 years. However, his dad lets him down again, making some excuse for postponing the trip with his son. The dialogue ends with his dad calling Will son, but Will calls his dad Lou instead of dad. Will tries to play it off, but Phil cuts to the heart. Uncle Phil says, after the dad has walked away, Uncle Phil looks at Will and says, Will, I'm going to tell you, it's okay for you to be angry. It's all right. It's okay, Will. And Will's anger intensifies as he says, I just wish I hadn't bought him this present, as he rips it out of that duffel bag that he had. It was a picture of a dad holding and embracing his son, hugging on his son. I just wish I hadn't spent my money on this gift from my dad. He's walked out on me again. Here's this heart-wrenching monologue between Phil and Will. It illustrates the pain of parental abandonment and longing for an attachment in the hearts of the fatherless. Will said, as he kind of tried to pull himself together, Will Smith said, hey, you know what? You ain't got to do nothing, Uncle Phil. You know, it ain't like I'm still 5 years old asking Mama when Daddy's going to come back home. You know? I mean, who needs him? Hey, he wasn't there to teach me to shoot baskets, and I've become a pretty good basketball player. I don't need him. Uncle Phil said, yes, son, you did. Will said, I got to do my first date without him, right? I learned how to ride a bike without him. I learned how to shave without him. I learned how to fight without him. I had 14 great birthdays without him. But he never even sent me a card, not one time. Will Smith said, to heck with him. I didn't need him then, and I won't need him now. And Uncle Phil said, Will? No. You know what, Uncle Phil? I'll get through college without him. I'm going to get a great job without him. I'm going to marry me a sweet honey without him. I'm going to have a whole bunch of kids without him. And I'll be a better father than he ever dreamed of being, because he sure ain't got nothing to teach me about how to love kids. Then there's a long pause between Will Smith and his Uncle Phil. And then Will said, how come he don't want me, man? How come he don't want me, man? And Will breaks down. He starts crying, and he falls into the arms of his Uncle Phil. Now, this television episode is much more than a TV show. It's a very common reality in our culture today. It's everywhere. Parental abandonment crushes children. Dr. William Willimon, in an article entitled Reaching and Teaching the Abandoned Children, he talked about the importance of marital faithfulness. Dr. Willimon reports that for more than 45% of the students that he surveyed, their parents' divorce was their most determinative life-changing event. The divorce of their parents is what most drastically altered and changed their life and how they looked at life. And so, Crawford Baptist Church, I plead with you, with us, let us be the church imitating God to the fatherless. Let's hold out the hope of the gospel and practice gospel-centered hospitality to those who are in broken homes, welcoming them as Jesus has welcomed us. Let us care for these children and for these single moms and for these single fathers today. Let us serve the fatherless in gospel-reflecting ways today. May God help us to do that. We must, church, based on Ephesians 6:1 itself, we must value and care for our children. And point number two in this sermon today, halfway through, here's point number two. But these are so weighty, so important. We must value and care for our children. And number two, we must set a Christ-centered example for our children. We must set a Christ-centered example for our children. Now, although this point is not explicitly stated in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, this point is certainly implied in the previous chapters in the book of Ephesians. And let me ask you this question. What are your children learning? What are your children learning? And oh, they're learning. They're soaking up information like little sponges. They operate technology. They're learning about technology. They're learning about life. They're learning about sexuality at very young ages in this day and age. They are wrestling with gender identity and what is what in this day and age. What are your children learning? Do you know? A second potent question would be, what are you teaching your children? Because you are. Your children are developing a theology, an understanding of God, whether you're intentionally teaching that theology to them or not. But they are absorbing it by the way that you live, by the way you pray in your home, by the way you read Scripture in your home, or by the way you don't pray or don't read Scripture in your home. They are learning, absorbing, acquiring a theology, an understanding of God simply by observing you. One third final question before we move into this point. What should your children be learning from you? Number one, what are your children learning? And they're learning a lot. Number two, what are you teaching your children? And you're teaching them whether you realize it or not. But number three, what should your children be learning from you? I'll give you three answers to that question, the third question, and we'll be done today. Number one, they should be learning basic Christian living. Your children should be learning from you basic Christian living. The Apostle Paul has been addressing all Christians in the church in Ephesus. Many of those Christians in the church were certainly parents. And one of the primary places that they were to live out these instructions in the previous chapters, especially in chapters 4 and 5, where we see the ethical implications of the Christian gospel, would be in the home. And so your children need to be learning basic Christian living and basic Christian truth from you in your home. Let me mention a few things. Children are learning from their parents' own relationship to the Lord. Your children are learning about God from your personal relationship to the Lord. They're watching you worship, parents. They watch you as you scroll through your Instagram and social media apps instead of listening to the pastor as he preaches. Your children observe you, and then they go and do likewise. They are learning that from you. Children are watching you worship, parents. That's one of the reasons we like having kids, children, in corporate worship, so that they can be properly taught how to worship by the ones God has ordained to teach them how to worship, which is pastor, dad, and mom in the home. See, your children are watching to see if you are dazzled by the grace of an awesome God, or if you're bored by this awesome God. Children are learning from you their view and their role of involvement in the local church. Are you committed to your local church? Do you organize your life around the Lord's day? Or do you have your life already planned, and when it's convenient, you slip in the Lord's day to be in church? This is a huge problem in our nation today. But children are learning from your view of and involvement in a local church. And moms and dads, as a pastor, I plead for you to repent, and to be faithful in the word in your home. Do not neglect God time. That's your time with God daily. Do not neglect gather time. That's when you gather with your congregation to engage in spirit-filled, God-honoring worship. And I know right now, because of the national state of emergency, we can't gather, but oh, how I would pray you are missing it. I pray you will long for it. I pray that the Lord will teach us all the value of being able to be in this room together, seeing each other, smiling, hugging necks, shaking hands, praying for the member in need, the brother or sister there. We have underestimated the significance of gathering for worship as brothers and sisters, and no one can deny that. But in these days, God is teaching us lessons. And I can tell you this, your children are learning their understanding of a local church by seeing your level of involvement in a local church. Children should see their parents speaking truth lovingly, working honestly, giving generously, encouraging others properly, putting away bitterness and anger repentantly, and forgiving one another Christianly. Just go back and read in Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. That's a synopsis of Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Those commands in Ephesians 4, 25 to 32, that's what your children should see in dad and in mom. And in turn, that's instilled into them through your teaching, through your discipleship with them. In short, parents are called to do Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The first picture of God that children receive is from their parents. And they will get a sense of authority, love, and protection from their parents. And as they see and treasure this example, that will inevitably point them away from the parents to the ultimate Father, Father God. As you fail to reflect Ephesians 5:1, you should use at that time to exemplify repentance before your children and point them to God. Also, children are learning what it looks like to love and serve others as moms and dads do this. They're learning what it looks like to live out the mission of God by watching mom and dad. You see, your example is so influential. I mean, what are they seeing? Are they learning to value money over mission? Success over faithfulness to God? Hypocrisy or honest repentance? Are they seeing within you a humble desperation for grace? Remember, they will be what they see. They will be what they see. And through the Spirit who is within us as children of God, regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are to see us imitating Christ through that supernatural life that we call Christianity. Number two, children are also learning what the gospel looks like from their parents' marriage. Children are learning not only the basics of Christian living, that was number one, but number two, children are also learning what the gospel looks like from their parents' marriage. This point is implied by the immediate context of husband and wife relationships. In Ephesians 5, again, verses 22 to 24, we see the Spirit-filled Christian wife. And in verses 25 to 33, we see the Spirit-filled Christian husband. So it's in this immediate context of our passage in our scripture, we see the parents are giving their children a picture of the gospel. One of our sermons from Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, one entire sermon was focused on how that our earthly marriages portray and picture the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the ultimate purpose of marriage is not marriage. The ultimate purpose of marriage is the glory of Christ and His union with His church. One of the best things you can do to teach your children is love one another and stay together. Therefore, they are hearing the gospel. Not only are they learning about the gospel from your marriage, but they're learning about marriage itself from your example. Does that mean children who don't grow up without a mom and a dad will have a broken family also? Absolutely not. The power of the gospel is immense. It's more than we can fathom or understand. We're not stuck or trapped in ungodly living. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus that sets us all free. And there is hope for everyone as long as Jesus is on His throne. And He's on His throne throughout eternity, beloved. Children in broken homes can hear the gospel. They can repent of their sins. They can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can be transformed. And those who have had those cycles of broken homes and divorces and drug addiction and alcohol addiction and sexual promiscuity, all of these things, by the power of Jesus and the glory of His gospel, can be wiped away. The gospel is powerful enough to transform your life and your future relationships. It simply means this, that the parents' relationship is going to have an effect on your children. So what would I say to you if you have a broken family, come from a broken family? I would say make it your aim to live out the teachings of Scripture as empowered by the Holy Spirit. Make it your God earnestly aim to have a God-glorifying marriage and home and parenting situation. Third thing and last thing in the message today. Children are learning obedience, respect, and submission as they watch their parents submit to and obey God. Children are learning obedience, respect, and submission as they watch their parents submit to and obey God. Now, this point is drawn from the immediate context as well, because the theme here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 down through chapter 6, verse 9, there's a unifying theme of submission that we find in these verses. You see, parents are under God's authority, both in their roles to one another and in their roles as parents. And children are watching how we obey God. Children are watching to see how you and I as parents obey God. Now, again, as parents, we're going to fail. Probably every day. But this does not make us bad parents. It simply means that we need the grace of God in our lives. Listen, do not hide your need for God's grace and the gospel. Well, I mean, that's part of the teaching experience for your children. They need to understand they're not perfect. They will never be perfect. You're not perfect. You will never be perfect. We all are in dependence upon the grace and mercy of our loving God. Children need to know that all people fail in obedience, but there is one whom God sent who never failed. And this one stood in our place. His name is Jesus. And this one who came in our place, stood in our place, was nailed to the old rugged cross in our place. He grants us forgiveness and empowerment. In Christ, we are forgiven, redeemed, made alive to God. If you're going to prepare a godly legacy, we need to understand, we need to value and care for our children. And beloved, we need to teach our children the basics of the Christian life in our home. The good news is not that the coronavirus is spreading throughout our world. The good news is not that we are self-sufficient and independent, that we have all the toilet paper we could ever want stuffed in our closets at home. It's not the good news. You can read Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea. They thought they had it all together. We don't need money from the government. We don't need any help from anybody. We got this thing under control. Earthquake can rock our city. Hey, we got people. We can rebuild it ourselves. They fought themselves to be self-sufficient and invincible. One of the great sins of modern Christianity in America is we think we have it all together. We're self-sufficient and we're invincible. We now live in a nation where people hijack a tractor trailer truckload of toilet paper, steal that toilet paper, and sell it for the highest price they can get. That's how frail humanity is in America today. But I want to tell you the true good news. The true good news is that the just and gracious God of this universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, and he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against our sin on the cross and to show his power over sin by resurrecting Jesus' dead body from the grave, so that everyone who turns from their sin, that's repentance, and believes in Christ, that's faith, will be reconciled to God forever. Brothers and sisters, and those who are listening today to this message, that is the good news. Let me bow and pray with you for a moment. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our time of worship today through prayer and through the preaching of the Word of God. Father, we believe it's through the preaching of the Word of God and the gospel that you save people. So, Father, this day I pray that this message, as people hear it, men, women, homes, singles, marrieds, young adults, teenagers, children, college-age students, I pray, God, that you would use the truth of your Word and the power of your gospel to save the lost before it's eternally too late. Father, we live our life thinking that we have forever, but we really don't. But one day we will. When we have ceased to live on this planet Earth, then we're in eternity. There's no opportunity for salvation then. So, Father, I pray that you would utilize your Word and this message preached by this weak, frail, grace-dependent steward of your truth. I pray you'll use this message for your glory, to encourage the brothers and sisters, to bring about genuine salvation, regeneration into the hearts and lives of many who've been deceived by religion. Oh God, be glorified. Strengthen our families. May they be bastions of gospel-centered living and truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we conclude our worship today, let me just remind you that we will have this sermon up online very soon. We also plan here at Crawford Baptist Church to upload a sermon from our series, Walking with God Through Suffering. That was preached here back in February of 2018. We'll be uploading four of those messages, one per week, beginning this coming Wednesday. And you'll be able to also access that time. I also would encourage you as a family to gather for nights of prayer like we had this Thursday night here at Crawford Baptist Church. We had encouraged all of our people, all of our families, spread across the greater Mobile region, some over into Baldwin County even, to get together as husbands, wives, and children and just pray. And we'll continue to send out prayer prompts, and may God bless you and watch over you. If you have any needs that we at this church can meet, again, church is not closed or suspended. We're just delivering our worship through different avenues and venues. But we're still here. Our deacons are ready to serve you. We have members ready to serve you. The pastors are ready to serve you. So if we can be of any help in any way, please let us know. You can call our church office. And also, if you're wondering, well, how do I help continue to honor the Lord with my tithes and offerings? Again, let me just say, you can mail in your tithes and offerings to Crawford Baptist Church, 3000 Sun Valley Drive, Mobile, Alabama, 36618. There's also a box inside the door of the Christian Life Center that you can slip your offering envelope. If you're using a check, you can slip your offering envelope through that little slit in the door into that box. Please do not put any unstamped offering envelopes in our U.S. postal mailbox. That would be a federal felony, so please do not do that. So you can mail in your check to Crawford Baptist Church. That would be a very efficient way for many of you. If you do give through online giving, we encourage that. Many have signed up in recent days for that. Also, remember the Easy Tithe app that's available for you, where you can contribute to your local church as well. But yes, we do need to continue the global, national, and local ministries that Crawford Baptist Church is engaged in. These ministries are not shutting down during this time of national emergency. And so I thank God in advance for your faithfulness to give your tithes, offerings, and love gifts to support the gospel ministry and mission of this church. I love you. I look forward to meeting with you again soon. May God bless you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.